love America, you're among friends here.
And welcome to the Warrior Catholic Show. This is Chris Ricketts, your host, and you are listening to this via Conservative Nation Radio. If you want to call in, the number is 718-305-7176. And we got a cool program lined up for you tonight. First off, let's take a listen to the news, and we'll be right back.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. Former Arizona Congresswoman Gabby Giffords made a surprise appearance at a Senate hearing today on gun violence. The one-time Arizona Democrat, who was shot in the head point-blank in 2011, told lawmakers that they must act soon.
Too many children are dying. Too many children. We must do something.
Giffords' husband, retired astronaut Mark Kelly, also testified, urging bold action on gun control in the wake of the Newtown, Connecticut massacre in which 20 young children lost their lives. Meanwhile, NRA CEO Wayne LaPierre told the Judiciary Committee that lax enforcement of existing laws, combined with holes in the mental health system, have led to the rash of mass shootings that have plagued the country in recent years. LaPierre cautioned lawmakers against rushing to ban certain weapons, and suggested instead that Congress provide funding to place armed guards in all public schools. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
And we're back. This is, once again, the Warrior Catholic Show on ConservativeNationRadio.org. I am Chris Ricketts, your host. If you want to be a part of the program, I'd love to hear from you. The number is 718-305-7176, broadcasting from the wonderful Shenandoah Valley in Virginia. It's a little bit rainy and soggy out here, but it's a beautiful area. We have lots of apples in the fall, so it's good times. But on tonight's show, we're going to go through some of the current news, and we're going to take a look at some of Obama's gun agenda, the whole thing. We're also going to be taking a look at Catholic institutions that aren't quite Catholic, but yet use the name and damage the church anyway because they refuse to see it any other way. So let's get right into it. These are some news stories that I've found as I've scrolled around the internet. So in case you're on Social Security, it's not looking too good here, folks. From FoxNews.com, the headline, Social Security's Disability Trust Fund could fail to cover all benefits early as 2016. But aren't you glad we've got Obamacare? I'm sure everyone feels so much better because of that. Says, as President Obama faces pressure on the left to defend federal entitlement programs from the benefit cuts that the Republicans say are necessary to keep the program solvent decades down the road, one part of Social Security could fall short of paying out full benefits within a few years, even while Obama is still president. Over the long term, Social Security and Medicare have promised tens of trillions of dollars more in benefits than the nation can pay for under current policies. But Social Security's Disability Trust Fund is in even worse shape, and current estimates say by 2016 it won't have enough money to pay full benefits. Well, how do you like that? The government trough is running out. I mean, seriously, what are we doing here, folks? We've bankrupted ourselves. And I know that a lot of the good folks out there already know this, but Social Security, the Disability Trust Fund, is going to be gone that soon? I don't know. That doesn't sound very promising to me. I'm sure they'll find a way to finagle or spend more money. I mean, $16 trillion in debt obviously isn't enough for them. So we're going to have to, dig deep, I guess, as Obama would say, or act now. So, you know, there's just another indication of the dire fiscal situation in our country today, and it's quite disturbing. And, you know, it's sad that the liberals live in this kind of dream world where they're not able to admit that or even see it. I mean, in the fiscal cliff talks, I mean, one thing that Boehner did well was keep talking about having a spending problem, and Obama refused to admit it. He refused to admit that we have a spending problem. Well, Mr. President, I beg to differ. I mean, Social Security is going to be crashing down on your watch. I'm sure that the Republicans will get blamed, so don't worry too much. Your media will cover it up for you. Okay, moving right along to the Washington Post. This is one of those articles I had to throw in there because it boggles the mind. Don't worry, folks. The deer population is going to be under control in Maryland. That's right, because Maryland has become the first state to approve the use of Gonicon, a deer birth control product. But the state's director of wildlife said Friday he can't imagine it ever being used in what he termed the open landscape. This is the only immunocontraceptive for deer that has federal approval, said Paul Pedito, director of the Wildlife and Heritage Service. It was developed by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and is registered with the Environmental Protection Agency. Whoa, whoa, whoa! Stop there for a minute. It's approved by the FDA. So what that means is that government money was used in developing deer birth control. Gosh, aren't you glad your tax dollars are going to such good? It costs up to $1,000 to apply it to a deer. It needs to be shot with a dart gun to tranquilize it, and then they inject it. And then it needs to be tagged after it's been treated, because then the meat of the animal can't be consumed by humans. Oh, and don't worry, it works on 80% of the deer that are injected. The following year, however, half of those injected deer will become pregnant unless hand-injected a second time. Folks, this is ludicrous. This is absolutely ludicrous. We are in Maryland. They're spending $1,000 per deer to give it contraceptive, and then it renders the meat unconsumable by humans, and then it needs to be done again the next year or the deer is going to get pregnant. You know, I can see it's a liberal dream. I mean, we don't like hunters and those nasty guns that they use to shoot the deer. And, you know, now we can make it so that the deer can't have little deerlings. And now we're also going to make it so it can't be eaten. So we're getting rid of those hunters and working on the deer population at the same time. Unfortunately, as most liberal experiments go, this costs money. So, you know, it boggles my mind as to how people can come up with this stuff, where their thinking is. I'm sure it started off with grandiose thoughts of, we're going to do something about this deer population in a humane way outside of shooting it. Well, folks, I like deer. They're delicious. Now they're going to be rendering them unfit for human consumption. So, there you go. That's nuts. Moving right along here from LifeSite News, we have the Boy Scouts, and they are reconsidering their ban on open homosexuality. That's right. The Boy Scouts have been in the crosshairs for some time by gay activists, and it looks like they're buckling. It says here that just 6 months after reaffirming their commitment to keeping open homosexuals out of the Boy Scouts, the national leaders of the organization have signaled that they may be about to change their minds. Last July, after a confidential two-year review, an 11-member special committee made up of Scout executives and volunteers came to the unanimous conclusion that a national ban on openly gay Scouts and leaders was absolutely the best policy. The Boy Scouts won a 5-4 U.S. Supreme Court ruling recognizing their right to ban homosexuals in 2000. But a spokesman for the Scouts said Monday they are considering dropping the national ban in favor of a policy allowing local scouting groups to determine their own policies. So they're caving, folks. They're giving in to political pressure. They were one of those organizations, and it looks like we have a call here on the line. Let's get you on here. Hello, you're on the Warrior Catholic Show. Who's this?
Hi, it's Brenda.
Hi, Brenda. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I just heard you start talking about the Boy Scouts, and I had to call in. I've been a leader for 20 years, and this is just outrageous. I mean, there are so many situations for little boys to be molested, and they are already, and we do this intensive training to try to protect them, and now they're going to open it up to gays? I mean, these are kids you're taking out in the woods, and they're in tents together, and this is just bad. Bad, and I hope they don't do it.
And a lot of homosexuals look to recruit, you know, younger boys and teenagers to try to come around to their way of seeing things. So it's definitely, I guess, a prime scouting.
Oh, it's, yeah, and I tell you, you go in, because I have been doing this for 20 years, and I went on a lot of campouts with my boys, and you're sometimes in the middle of nowhere, and there may be just two adults with the group, depending on the size of the group or where you're going, and this is just bad. You know, I'm not saying that all gay men are child molesters, but... You know, you just increase that risk by increasing the situation and saying, okay, you can come and join and you can be leaders and you can do this. And you know, where does it end?
No, you're absolutely right. I appreciate the call. Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you for bringing it up. Okay.
Have a good night.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Brenda brings up a good point because, and nobody here is going to be saying that all homosexuals are child molesters or looking for that, but we have seen enough evidence from the gay activists that they reach out and recruit younger boys into their ranks. And, you know, the Boy Scouts are a prime target area to be able to do that. So I'm sad to see an organization like the Boy Scouts buckling. I mean, and you know, the activists put on a lot of pressure. They're really good at that. They can take something and they bully. It's absolute bullying, and it's really sad to see that happening. So we're coming up on a break here. I just want to say that conservativenationradio.org is proud to welcome former U.S. Navy SEAL Carl Higbee to the Sound of Freedom with Hagen Resch Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Central. Carl's the well-known author of Battle on the Home Front and an outspoken critic of the Obama administration. I guess nobody told those guys in the White House not to mess around with Navy SEALs. Carl Higbee is a real patriot who's talked the talk and walked the walk. So listen to The Sound of Freedom with Carl Higbee and former Navy JAG attorney Guy Reschenthaler Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern and 6 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. We got a couple minutes before our first official break, so I want to keep going with the news here. And, you know, there's the military has definitely been in the crosshairs of the Obama administration, and you know, if liberals want to make any cuts from the military or make any budget cuts at all, it's going to be from the military. It's just what they do. So you know, now we have TRICARE in the crosshairs of the Obama administration, and it's pretty sad to see. They want to make military families pay more for their health insurance. And this is from freebeacon.com. Obama to cut health care benefits for active duty and retired U.S. military. The Obama administration's proposed defense budget calls for military families and retirees to pay sharply more for their health care while leaving unionized civilian defense workers' benefits untouched. The proposal is causing a major rift within the Pentagon, according to U.S. officials. Several congressional aides suggested the move is designed to increase the enrollment in Obamacare's state-run insurance exchanges. What do you think of that, folks? Please give a call in, 718-305-7176. Did you notice the catchphrase in that? Did you hear it? They're leaving the unionized civilian defense workers' benefits untouched. Well, bless my heart, folks. Isn't that nice? The men and women who sign up, who give away part of their lives to defend our nation, to defend our freedoms, they're the ones that have to pay more for their health care. But the civilians that are in a union, that are contractors or whatnot, they don't have to change their plans at all. And it's causing a backlash between civilian and uniformed personnel that could undermine recruitment and retention. Well, no kidding. Absolutely. This is absolutely ridiculous. And we'll keep talking about that as soon as we come back from our break. Don't go away. Straight ahead.
You must be your fairy godmother.
In the classic fairy tale, Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in there.
Especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size.
Oh, that does make a difference.
To make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Happy to you. Thank you.
Remember, you're responsible for protecting your children. Their happily ever afters are in your hands. For even more information about choosing the right car seat, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Back. You're listening to the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.com. This is Chris Ricketts, your host, and if you want to be a part of the show, which I really hope you do, the number is 718-305-7176. We were just talking about how the Obama administration wants to make those members of the military, those men and women that give up their freedom, part of their lives, not necessarily their freedoms, but they give up part of their lives to defend our freedom. And now the Obama administration wants to make them and their families pay a whole lot more for their health insurance. And they're leaving the unionized civilian workers alone. I mean, I don't want to bash civilian, defense workers who also take big risks to do their job. I'm not going to take away from that. However, why should the military, the ones that have to actively put their lives on the line, why should they have to pay more? Look, in all these debates about spending and entitlements, I for one am all in favor of the military and veterans and retirees, getting their fair what they've earned. They put a significant portion of their lives in defense of this country, and a lot of them give it up. So I don't consider military, veterans benefits or anything like that. I don't personally don't consider that a handout. I don't consider that like welfare. Those people put their lives on the line. All the college education, tuition assistance, the VA loans, all those things that help out veterans and those still in the military. I'm all for that. They earn that. So it really ticks me off when I see the liberals, trying to slash the military and do all they can to take away from those people that give up so much for our country. What do you think about that? 718-305-7176. We're just going over some headlines now, just basic news. Another big thing out there, this is from CNBC.com. GDP shows surprise drop for U.S. in fourth quarter. Man, you got to chuckle at that headline. Seriously. It's a surprise drop. Well, the only people who are surprised are the, Obama fans here. What? The GDP is shrinking? How could that be? I mean, after Obama was reelected, then all the markets were supposed to, come bouncing back because it took away the uncertainty. Oh, it took away all the uncertainty. So now we have Obama back in office. And guess what, folks? The market tanked upon Obama's reelection. So now we have this surprise drop for the U.S. in the fourth quarter. It was the U.S. economy posted a stunning drop of 0.1% in the fourth quarter, defying expectations for slow growth and possibly providing incentive for more Federal Reserve stimulus. That's right, folks. pour more money into it. That's what we need. The economy shrank from October through December for the first time since the recession ended, hurt by the biggest cut in defense spending in 40 years, fewer exports, and sluggish growth in company stockpiles. Now, that is a huge, that's big, folks. That's a problem. Now, the Democrats, of course, are in denial, and they're already out there spinning, and this from Weekly Standard, that they say it's the best looking contraction in U.S. GDP you'll ever see. You got to, I don't know where they come up with this stuff, folks. I'm just, this is just what I happen to find out there in my meanderings, looking at the news. You know, give a call in, 718-305-7176. So this is a good contraction, according to liberals. In response to the news today that the economy contracted 0.1% in the final quarter of last year, Democrats are touting the claim that this is the best-looking contraction in U.S. GDP you'll ever see. The claim was originally made by chief U.S. economist for Capital Economics, Paul Ashworth. The drag from defense spending and inventories is a one-off. The rest of the report is all encouraging. The claim was quickly seized upon by Democrats looking to share good news about a contracting economy. Folks, you know, Obama's always talking about common sense solutions and all this other stuff. But, you know, I'm not seeing the common sense here. I'm not seeing this as a good thing. So we're taking away defense spending, and they're calling that good. We're increasing entitlements, and that's somehow good. And the economy is shrinking. The GDP is contracting. How can that be good? Can someone please explain that to me? Please, 718-305-7176. You know, it's if that's the common sense that's out there, you always hear Obama, we're just looking for common sense solutions, and those Republicans just get in the way. You know, folks, I don't share. If that's common sense, then I don't got it. Sorry. Just you can, you know, throw it out. I cannot identify with that form of common sense. It just doesn't seem that common to me, or at least on this side of the aisle. You know, maybe the liberals have a lot of common sense, because a shrinking economy and increasing debt and spending a lot of money is somehow a good thing, and that's what we need. If that's the common sense, then I don't want to have common sense. I'm sorry. I'll disenfranchise myself with that line of thinking all day long. So, but don't worry. The Democrats also know who's responsible, because according to TheHill.com, White House Press Secretary Jay Carney, our clown press secretary in the White House, he laid the blame for a surprise economic contraction squarely at the feet of congressional Republicans Wednesday, saying economic threats during the fiscal cliff negotiations had prevented important defense spending. Our economy is facing a major headwinds, and that's Republicans in Congress, Carney said. Really, folks? I mean, maybe this still works somewhere. Maybe this still is something that people listen to. And, you know, Obama got reelected, so apparently it still works. But all they do, every single time one of their policies fails, anytime one of their little ingenious ideas backfires, oh, and say the GDP shrinks 0.1%, which is huge, it's the Republicans' fault. Who knew? I mean, I'm so glad that the Democrats are there to explain it to you and me that, oh, it's because of the tough talks during the fiscal cliff that caught. Well, the talks during the fiscal cliff, I mean, that was boiling. That was really building up there. But, you know, how did that really start? You know, this is from October to December. So how did the Republicans' tough talks after that affect the shrinkage in the GDP beforehand? Can anyone make sense? Yeah, see in the chat room here, it's Bush's fault. You know, thank you. I'm surprised that hasn't come up either. You know, it is Bush's fault. I mean, seriously, if the economy is bad now after more than 4 years of Obama, it's got to be Bush's fault. I don't see what else it could be. So, I mean, I don't know. Again, please weigh in on this wacky situation here. 718-305-7176. You know, this is just it's getting a little out of hand here, folks. So, moving right along, and I'm sure you may have been paying attention to, we got the immigration issue coming back up full force. You know, Obama is firing on all cylinders now, folks. And, you know, he's got 4 years. He doesn't have to run for reelection. He's going to do whatever he wants. This is something that, you know, we should have been able to see coming. And, you know, even told, who was it he told to Russia, I'll just wait till my second term, then we'll really get it then. So, but we have the immigration issue, and this is from Town Hall, written by Katie Pavlich. Obama's immigration plan is to expedite 11 million illegal immigrants to citizenship. President Obama has wrapped up his $1.6 million campaign event, nope, never mind, immigration reform speech in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now is the time for common sense, comprehensive immigration reform, Obama said. There we go again with common sense. Of course it's common sense. That's what everyone thinks. I mean, I love this twist of the language. I mean, it's common sense. So what he's, I mean, anyone that disagrees with what Obama has to say and his common sense solutions, well, obviously they don't have common sense. Obviously they're out in some loony bin and they must be stupid or something, because they don't have common sense if they disagree with Obama's easy common sense solutions on everything. I mean, seriously, he says, we can't allow immigration reform to get bogged down in endless debate. For the first time in years, Republicans and Democrats seem ready to attack this problem together. This from Obama. He focused on further enforcement as a top priority for reform. He stressed the need to expedite 11 million immigrants away from the shadows and into American society as citizens, a position bound to put the country into another post-1986 amnesty situation. Now, Obama also says that if Congress fails to enact its own immigration reform, he'll send up his own bill and insist they vote on it right away, while cautioning against the emotion of ongoing debate and an us versus them mentality. Cautioning against an us versus them mentality, what is he thinking? He is the most polarizing president that I've seen in my lifetime, and I'm sure many of you have too. He's all about us versus them. He ran a campaign, and he ran an entire he still spent a lot of his first term blaming Bush. It was all Bush's fault. You know, it was still Bush's fault for the economy at the end of his first term. So us versus them, I'm sorry, I can't buy that, because that's all we have. So we have, they're going after the immigrants now, or the people who have come into our country who are here illegally, and you know, all the, you know, what the Democrats see is votes. That's it. It's a large voting block, because guess how Hispanics voted in the 2012 presidential election? It wasn't for Romney. It was overwhelmingly for Obama that Hispanics voted for in the 2012 election. They overwhelmingly voted for Obama. So the Democrats see this block of people. It is a huge voting block that would ensure them victory in subsequent elections. And they're just, all they want to do is bring them all in as citizens as quickly as they can. Obama's always urgent. It's always right now. We need to do something right now. We need to act now, or else, you know, everything's going to, we can't do anything if we don't act now. Oh my gosh. Obama's always in urgency mode, always in panic. We need to do something right now. Ginning up fear and ginning up confusion and polarizing the people. Us versus them. Darn right, because I'm going to be against what Obama and the Democrats are doing. I can't support any of that. So we're coming up on a break here, but when we come back, we're going to be taking a look at what Obama and his Department of Homeland Security has been doing Namely, while Obama has especially going against guns, the DHS has been arming itself to the teeth since last year and before. So we're going to be taking a look at that. So don't go away. When we come back, we'll be talking about that. So conservativenationradio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner.
This Valentine's Day, give your special someone a beautiful Swarovski crystal heart made by women who have survived war in South Sudan. These stunning items are available in small, medium, and large sizes and come in crystal, red, pink, and other beautiful colors. And the best part? They're yours starting at just $25 plus shipping. To order yours today, go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com and click on shop. Again, that's goatsfortheoldgoat.com and click on shop.
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. I am Chris Ricketts, the host, and if you want to be a part of the program, I would love to hear from you. Call in at 718-305-7176. And we were just going over the news in the last half hour, and now I want to talk about something that's really been troubling me, folks. And, you know, I'm watching our government and watching what Obama has done over the last 4 years and all that he's looking to do now. I mentioned earlier that he's firing on all cylinders, and I have no doubt that that is going to continue to be the case. So we had the terrible incident, the shooting up in up north in Connecticut, and you know, it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. But we had the politicians who absolutely were dying to pass more gun legislation. Before the smoke had even cleared, these folks were panting. We got to get more guns. We got to get the guns. And now's our chance. Now's our chance. Never let a serious crisis go to waste. That was it. That was it. And now we've seen Obama coming out on all these issues that apparently he'd been saving for his second term now that he can push it. We've got, you know, the immigration issue is coming to the forefront. We've got a more aggressive push towards homosexual marriage in our country with various states that have already legalized it. And, you know, it's very concerning. And I've been taking a look at the whole, trying to look at the whole big picture here. And there's also some interesting things that have been coming up here with the Department of Homeland Security. If you happen to have heard of this too, I'd love to hear from you, 718-305-7176. So hello, folks. It seems like we had hit some technical difficulties. If you can hear me in the chat room, please let me know. Sorry about that. One thing about broadcasting out of your house is when the internet goes down, well, there goes your radio show. So if you can hear me, please let me know. Anyways, I was trying to talk about the Department of Homeland Security and how they have been arming themselves to the teeth, pretty much. They are looking for weapons. They want to get 7,000 military-style weapons with fully automatic and semi-automatic capabilities. And, you know, it's a little bit disturbing, to tell you the truth. It is something that, you know, it makes you kind of go, it makes you wonder what is going on. Looks like we're having a call here. Hello, who's this?
It's Barbara. Sorry,
Am I back on?
Yeah, I just got on because my other computer wasn't working either. So
Sorry,
you're back. I'm glad you're back.
Oh, no, for a minute I had to panic there. And, you know, folks, it's we have technical difficulties every now and then, and, you know, we got to roll with it. So, but I apologize for that. We're back on now, and, you know, Barbara, thanks for looking to call in, too. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. Good show so far.
Thanks. Well, let's hopefully nothing else will happen here. So, oh man.
You know what, Chris? I'm going to mute this, so I'll just stay on the line, okay?
Sounds
like
a plan.
In case anything else. All right.
All right. Thanks. Okay, folks. So anyway, been talking about the Department of Homeland Security, and I'm not sure where we got cut off, but I was talking about how they want to. They're purchasing all these weapons. They're really arming themselves to the teeth here, and it's disturbing what's happening here. And if you want to call in, please, love to hear from you, 718-305-7176. And you know, so they're arming the Department of Homeland Security. Did you notice too that, you know, going back a little bit, the liberals hated the Patriot Act. They hated Bush's invasion of privacy. They hated his, you know, everything it did and blah, blah, blah. And then when Obama comes in, when Obama decided to you know, he was elected, it quietly stayed. And now he has the Department of Homeland Security buying 7,000 guns. And over the last nine months, they purchased 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition. What would they need with that kind of ammo? Now, back in August, the Department of Homeland Security censored information relating to the amount of bullets purchased by the DHS on behalf of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, citing an unusual and compelling urgency to acquire the bullets. Why do they need that kind of ammo? Why is it good enough? Why is a AR-15 or an M16 to them, but the civilian equivalent, the AR-15, why is that okay for? Why is that not okay for civilians to have? But the Department of Homeland Security is going to go out and buy a whole ton of them. This is disturbing, folks. It's making me wonder. You know, in Natural News, they had it. If you just go on Google and check out DHS purchasing ammo, you'll see a lot of information. The DHS began in April of 2012 with the purchase of 450 million rounds of hollow point 40 caliber ammunition. Now, it's significant because the DHS does not fight wars with foreign nations. Its entire theater of operations is on U.S. soil, dealing solely with American people. So they're buying hollow point bullets, which are banned by the Geneva Convention and is not even used by the U.S. military. It can only be used domestically against U.S. targets or people. Does that send a chill down your spine? Seriously, does it make you get a little bit nervous? 718-305-7176. It makes me a little bit nervous that the Department of Homeland Security is buying a whole ton of ammo, and the only use that it has is domestic. They bought hollow point bullets. I got to take a quick break, but more on this when we come back. Don't go away.
Confusion over someone or have sudden...
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
Don't wait. Call 911 immediately.
Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
And we're back, folks. Hopefully technical difficulty free. You are listening to the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. I am Chris Ricketts, your host. And if you want to be a part of the program, which I hope you do, please call at 718-305-7176. And we're talking about how the Department of Homeland Security is beefing itself up they're calling us extremists. This is extreme military might. They're buying hollow point bullets. They're buying AR-15 style, quote, assault weapons with fully automatic feature. They want to get 7,000 of them. They purchased over 1.2 billion rounds of ammo. Are they arming? What are they arming themselves for? Since the place in which they operate is our home soil. This is a huge military strong arm that seems to be developing under Obama's presidency. Can you imagine what the liberals would be saying if this happened under Bush? And it seems we have a caller here, so let's bring you on the air. You're on the Warrior Catholic Show. Hello.
Hi. I was listening to what you were saying, and I had a thought, trying to think of how all the pieces fit together as far as this ridiculous administration and so many of their antics. And I was recalling how a budget has not been passed in, well, now 4 years, going on five. And I'm wondering if perhaps, and I guess maybe this is going to sound conspiratorial, but I'm thinking in order for the DHS to make purchases, it needs to have a budget. And since it is a governmental department, its budget would fall under the purview of the budget that has to be passed by Congress. So now I'm wondering if perhaps there is something more to the fact that a budget has not been passed, because when a budget is passed, it's public record and the people of America are supposed to be, anyway, able to go and see what's been earmarked and what is being spent on what and how our money is being appropriated, because it is our money. And it makes me kind of pause and think, well, what if we haven't had a budget passed because there is some idea in Washington that the people shouldn't know what the money is being spent on, like rounds of ammunition and assault weapons and such. It just sort of makes me wonder. I wonder, you know, maybe there's nothing to it, but maybe there is more to it, because it's certainly not the mainstream news that is reporting on these purchases being made by Homeland Security and whatnot. We're not hearing that from anybody. So anyway, it was just a thought, and I was figured I'd throw it out there.
Well, thanks. That's a great point. I appreciate your call. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good night. No, that's an excellent point, folks. I mean, we haven't had a budget in four plus years now. And, you know, it gives them almost free money. Well, maybe not free money, but you know what I mean? Like almost seemingly unlimited, where they don't have to be held accountable, because the thing with a budget is you have to stick to it and then provide the records that is in fact what you are doing. So we're talking about the Department of Homeland Security and how they have been arming themselves to the teeth. And I'm trying to look at the whole stage here that's been set, and I'm getting chills, folks. Maybe I'm a conspiracy theorist. I don't know. But when I see these things, it makes me wonder. Call in at 718-305-7176. Not only have they been buying hollow point rounds and all this stuff, they also bought $400,000 worth of radiation protection pills and thousands of bulletproof roadside checkpoint boots. Is it expecting a radiological event? Now, seriously, why would they need these kind of things? I'm getting this from naturalnews.com. And, you know, a lot of these things have been documented, and they post the actual DHS, you know, appropriations pages, and they actually show the evidence on these websites. So before you dismiss it as some crackpot story that's out there, they've backed themselves up. They back themselves up. So you take a look at this stuff, and sorry, man, we're having all kinds of issues tonight. My microphone's falling all over the place. So anyways, we take a look at this, and we see over 1 million rounds of hollow point 223 rifle ammo, and then we see non-hollow point 223, 220,000 rounds of 12-gauge shotgun, over 200,000 rounds of 12-gauge shotgun, numbers double zero buckshot ammo. That's tactical anti-personnel ammo. 66,000 rounds of 12-gauge shotgun slugs, tactical anti-personnel, anti-vehicle rounds. Over 2 million rounds of hollow point 357 SIG JPH pistol ammo. Over 4 million rounds of 40 S&W JPH hollow point pistol ammo. It goes on. Then they're buying, and they bought another 750 million rounds of anti-personnel ammunition. What are they preparing for? You see, when you make these kinds of purchases and you do these kind of things, it is indicative of preparation for something. What are they preparing for? What are they doing? I mean, these are some valid, legitimate questions. It's not just the questions of the raving lunatic. I mean, and one thing you have to remember throughout history, and Duke Brooks mentioned it on air the other night, that the greatest human rights offenses and crimes have been committed by government. And again, I'll quote Duke Brooks on that. He brought that up on his show, Radio Free America. It's good stuff. Anyways, so the biggest crimes against humanity have been committed by government. And we see our own Department of Homeland Security stockpiling as if they're prepared for, like, you know, Armageddon. You know, it makes the comparison here that with 450 million rounds of ammo, it's enough to wage a seven-year war with the American people. What are they prepping for? This is disturbing stuff, folks. You know, we have this whole guns control debate. Obama's looking to he wants us to believe that he's in control and that he knows what's good for us. And we need to give up our guns so our government can arm itself. I mean, that is ridiculous. 718-305-7176. Why are they buying so much ammo? What are they preparing for? Not only that, there've also been all kinds of these military drills that have been scaring people. Now, we had one in the South Houston Army drill, scares residents. The sight of Army, this is from LibertyNews.com, the sight of Army helicopters and the sound of gunfire created a lot of concern Monday afternoon in one Houston neighborhood. This article is from published January 29th. There was also one in downtown Miami. There were Black Hawk choppers flying over Miami firing machine guns, blanks, and local streets were shut down. This was explained as a drill, but most residents had no idea it was coming. We have our homeland government agencies are escalating themselves. This is scary, folks. This is scary stuff, folks. I don't know why they would be doing that, and I'm trying not to go down the line of thinking as to maybe why they would. Guns are good enough for them. Oh, and it's funny because Obama is all about gun control. He doesn't want us to have guns, but it's okay to provide weapons to Muslim groups. How much ammo, guns, and, you know, fighter jets and everything have we shipped over to Egypt? Helping out the Muslim Brotherhood. It's okay to give them guns. No problem, guys. No sweat. We will hook them up. No problem. But at the same time, we are going to take away guns from our citizens. And then we are going to arm our Department of Homeland Security like it's a second army, like a second military. What are they planning for? Seriously, I'm a little bit nervous here. I mean, and I think you should be too. I can't understand why they would be doing this. Why would they need that much ammo? And if they're anticipating some kind of catastrophe, if they're anticipating some kind of, national event, I'm not understanding why they would be needing to, arm themselves like that. It boggles the mind. It really does. It makes me wonder, what is our government planning to do? And those are all questions that I think are very, very valid to ask. I think it's well within our rights to question our government. I mean, Hillary Clinton had that famous rant in the 2008-2007 Democrat primary season. It's everybody's right to disagree with our government and blah, 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 blah. She said that horrible voice of hers. So, it's one of those things where, I'll have to agree. I'm going to disagree with the government here. And although when people disagree with Obama, he doesn't like that so much, and that's when we have problems. So we have, again, why is our government arming itself to the teeth? The Department of Homeland Security, 7,000 semi-automatic and fully automatic AR-15 style weapons, over 1.2 billion rounds of ammo, some of them hollow point, anti-personnel bullets. What are we doing here? I mean, we have the stage set where Obama's pushing to bring all the illegals that are in the country, a large Democrat voting bloc. He's bringing them in to ensure Democrat victory. He's pushing the homosexual agenda. For many, many years, liberals have been indoctrinating our children with their ideology. You go to a college now and you get straight up communism and Marxism. They've got the education system. Obama has his propaganda arm, which is the so-called mainstream media. I mean, that's his propaganda arm. Then he has this Department of Homeland Security, which can take care of events right within our soil. So you read between the lines, folks. What are we preparing for? I say it's time to start praying. It's time to start turning to God and saying, what can I do? What can we do to fight against this? What can we do to prepare ourselves for maybe something that's not going to be so pleasant? Because, I mean, he has his propaganda machine. The media definitely, they definitely helped win him the election because so many people are still completely ignorant about everything that Obama stands for. They like getting free stuff. Not only that, Obama's running up our deficit like it's, like it's going out of style. American currency is going out of style at this point. He's doing all these things. He's doing all these things. And, it's a very scary stage to be set. It's something that I think, I'm trying to at least remain a little bit open, but I'm very, very skeptical as to what's going on. We got to take a break now, but in the second hour, we're going to go over some Catholic. We're going to get into, we mix the church and the state here. We're going to move on into some Catholic news and talking about Catholic institutions that aren't quite Catholic and how they damage the church. So all of that coming right up. Don't go away. And, of course, more of your calls after this.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the3rdlantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Higgin Resch sent you. thethirdlantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
Hey, what's up? This is Gwyneth speaking for Rad. Give up the keys. Choose a designated driver. Music lives. So should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back with Chris Ricketts' show, Catholic Warrior show, and I don't know what happened to Chris. So you have me. Anyway, yeah, it is kind of, it's very scary for what he's been doing, the government anyway, with all these, you know, as I've been reading through constitutions and reading through the history, I've noticed that the next World War, it was World War One, then World War Two. I really think we're heading for World War Three. But anyway, Chris is back, so go ahead, Chris, your show.
Right, you know, I'm about to throw my computer out the window, to tell you the truth. This thing is just, it's killing me here. But anyways, for stepping in there. And anyway, so yeah, absolutely, World War III coming up. I can see that. Why not? It seems to be what we're headed towards. But I'm in this hour, I want to move more into the religion side of thing. This is the Warrior Catholic show, so I'm a Catholic conservative. So I am proud to mix the church and state on this show. So we're going to get into some of the, some of the Catholic news that I have found around here. And, I like to take a look at both sides of, we look into the politics and the government side of things. And then we get into the religious side of things. And a lot of times they mix. But if you want to be a part of the show, please call in at 718-305-7176. And be glad to hear from you. So we have here the going back to the HHS mandate. Yes, that hasn't gone away either. This is another strong arm law from the Obama administration. And the bishops are not going quietly, which I'm very glad to see. And this is from LifeSiteNews.com. And it says here, exclusive, U.S. bishops say they're willing to go to jail over the HHS mandate. As the Obama administration and the U.S. bishops remain locked in battle over the HHS mandate, the question on the minds of many observers is, what lengths are the bishops willing to go to oppose the mandate? The prelates, LifeSite News spoke to after the vigil Mass for Life in Washington, D.C. on January 24th, indicated that they intend to do everything they can to oppose the mandate, including risking imprisonment if necessary. Wow. Now I'm getting all excited. I would be willing to go to jail in defense of religious liberty, said Bishop Alexander Sample of Marquette, Michigan, who was appointed Archbishop of Portland, Oregon on January 29th. He stressed that the bishops are exploring all the options with the assistance of sound moral theologians to see what is the most practical but effective way to oppose the mandate. We will not simply roll over and accept the mandate, he insisted. We have to fight for our religious liberty, and we'll take it as far as we can. Guys, that kind of stuff definitely makes me glad to see that, you know, the leaders in the church, the bishops are standing up and saying, you know what, if I got to go to jail, so be it. Amen. I got to go to jail. That's fine. What do you think? 718-305-7176. We have our bishops now are standing up for religious freedom and standing up to the tyranny coming from this Obama administration. We were just talking about, you know, guns in the last half hour. They're taking away our guns, but turning around and arming the government. And now we have the government forcing and bullying religious institutions. But they're here to say, no, you know, I'd rather go to jail than compromise my beliefs. And I like to see that. You know, it is definitely encouraging. And I think a good example. And I think as we move along here in Obama's second term, I think we're going to see more of that. Because I did see a headline about how Obama and, the people are getting more and more willing, becoming more and more willing to stand up. You know, in New York City, there are thousands of people already that are organizing to not comply with their new gun laws. And now we have it on the Catholic side of things as well. The bishop saying, you know what? I'd rather go to jail. How about you? How far are you willing to go to defend the freedoms of this nation? 718-305-7176. You know, it's all coming to a head. I really feel that. You know, Obama now, he's got his second term, and he thinks he's got it made. It's ready to go. He can do whatever he wants. And the people, you know, the Republicans have been, you know, they've been set aside. They've got Boehner and Cantor and all these weak-kneed, linguine-spined Republicans, establishment folks anyway, in the House who are going to bend over and grab the ankles to everything that Obama says. So at least we've got some good leadership coming from strong conservatives and from the U.S. Catholic bishops and from Hobby Lobby. And from anyone else who's going to stand up and say, you know what, enough is enough. So I really liked seeing that, seeing that these bishops are going to put their money where their mouth is and at least do something. You know, as much as the Catholic Church, they've had their issues. There have been some terrible things that have happened with individual priests. But, you know, the essence of the church is still intact. There may be people that have, you know, defiled themselves and maybe their own allegiance to Catholicism, but the message is still there. The teachings and the principles and the truths don't change. It's just the people that fail to uphold them. There's always going to be that. Now, this from the National Catholic Register. The headline is Obama's gay rights agenda on a collision course with religious liberty. His inaugural address equated same-sex marriage with civil rights for black Americans and pledged to advance gay rights in 2013, raising serious religious liberty concerns. It's coming, folks. I'm telling you. And it continues. 9 months after he officially endorsed same-sex marriage, President Barack Obama vowed to make that policy goal a top priority of his second term, a stance that has galvanized the Democratic base but stirred concerns from other quarters about the impact on religious liberty. It is now our generation's task to carry on what those pioneers began, stated Obama during a January 21st inaugural address that outlined his goals on economic and social issues, as well as foreign policy. Our journey is not complete until our gay brothers and sisters are treated like anyone else under the law. For if we are truly created equal, then surely the love we commit to one another must be equal as well, said the president, though his address provided no specifics on how he would advance equal rights for same-sex couples. But he's equating it with, you know, Reverend Martin Luther King's crusade to win civil rights for black citizens. And of course, by doing that, it's making it more mainstream. You know, sorry about that. You know, hope everyone liked that impression. You know, I try. But what do you think? 718-305-7176. We're talking about how this article is from the National Catholic Register saying, you know, it could be on a collision course with religious liberty, this push for same-sex marriage. And, you know, San Francisco Archbishop Salvatore Corleone, the chairman of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Subcommittee for the Promotion and Defense of Marriage, whew, that's a long name, responded to the president's address with a statement that underscored the church's respect for the dignity of all persons, while insisting that the truth about marriage could not be changed. I honor the president's concern for the equal dignity of every human being, including those who experience same-sex attraction, who, like everyone else, must be protected against any and all violence and hatred, wrote Archbishop Corleone in an email to the Register. By the way, in case you were wondering, conservativenationradio.org is now on the air at the same time Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Central. And like the true anchors they are, Michael Smith and Bing Fisher are still here with Soldiers of Patriotism Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. Don't miss our signature show, Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern and 3 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org. That having been said, even the most sturdy among us need an occasional breather. Michael and Bing pulled rank and got this Sunday off. But rest assured, they'll be back next Sunday. But if you're having Soldiers of Patriotism withdrawal, just go to conservativenationradio.org and you can download podcasts to your heart's content. Real conservatism for real conservatives. So anyways, we are talking about the gay rights agenda of the Obama administration and how it's another thing that is on a direct collision course with religious liberty. We've been seeing all kinds of, we've been seeing that with the HHS mandate and the way it is trying to strong arm the church. Again, you please feel free to call in 718-305-7176. You know, we've seen it in Canada, where they've taken, you know, their laws, their liberal laws are much more in place than we are. You know, it's good to be able to look other places and see that we're not that bad yet, although we're sprinting to catch up. But in Canada, you can be arrested for, quote, hate speech. Pastors aren't allowed to preach against homosexuality because it's hate speech. So simply disagreeing with someone is now hateful. Who knew? I mean, those nasty Republicans disagreeing with Obama. It's all racism and hatred. I'm telling you, that's exactly what it is. It's got to be because, I mean, they can't actually have a point. Forget the facts and everything that they might be saying about it. No. It's racism and hatred. So with that in mind, who's to say that that kind of thing isn't going to be coming to America as well? I mean, the Catholic Church is the biggest opponent, organized opponent of a lot of the things that Obama wants to do. And we got to take a quick break, but more on this when we come back. More Catholic news right after this. Hold on.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. I am Chris Ricketts, your host. And if you want to be a part of the program, and I really hope you do, 718-305-7176 is the number to call. And we are talking about just going over some Catholic headlines that jumped out at me as I look. I, you know, folks, I go throughout the entire week. I'm just stockpiling news articles and things that pop up and interest me and, you know, that seem important. And, you know, after a while, I have to keep clearing out my bookmarks tab because it just gets so cluttered. But anyways, we're talking about this article saying that, you know, Obama's gay rights agenda is on a collision course with religious liberty. And, you know, there's no reason to think that, you know, we're going to see more cracking down by the administration on those who disagree with same-sex marriage on moral or any other grounds. This is heating up. We're going to see all these issues heating up on all fronts. It's like they're trying to overwhelm us. They're trying to make it so that, you know, we can't fight them all at once. And it's I'm telling you, this next 4 years, I am truly nervous. And, you know, I got to say that I'm going to be, my faith, you know, is going to be tested. I think all our faith is going to be tested. And I'm going to be, you know, wearing out those rosary beads because I personally don't have trust in the government or anything else. I got to focus on God and through the intercession of Mary, Mama Mary. You know, Mary's awesome. She's my mama. You don't mess with my mama. So, anyways, more in Catholic news. This, again, from Archbishop Salvatore Corleone. Sounds like something out of The Sopranos, but he's actually pretty cool. This is from CNS News. He says, legalizing gay marriage is like legalizing male breastfeeding. No, folks, you didn't hear that wrong. But allow me to read the article before you get ticked. So Archbishop Salvatore Corleone, who leads the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of San Francisco, said that same-sex marriage is so contrary to nature that legalizing it would be like legalizing male breastfeeding. In a January 28th interview with Mary O'Regan for the Catholic Herald in England, Archbishop Corleone cautioned against using the term gay marriage because it is a natural impossibility. And to keep using those words only perpetuates a charade. He likened the impossibility of same-sex marriage to another biological impossibility. Legislating for the right for people of the same sex to marry is like legalizing male breastfeeding. He also said, truth is clear. Wanting children to be connected to a mother and father discriminates against no one. Every child has a father and a mother. And either you support the only institution that connects a child with their father and mother, or you don't. Adoption by a mother and father mirrors the natural union of a mother and father and provides a balanced, happy alternative for when a child may not be reared by their biological parents. So, what do you think of that, folks? That's kind of an interesting comparison, but I can understand where he's coming from. He's illustrating absurdity with more absurdity. What do you think? 718-305-7176. And, you know, so he says that legislating for people of the same gender to be married to each other, it's impossible. Now, the church isn't saying this because they hate gays. They're not saying this because they have this vendetta against, you know, same-sex attracted people. No, they're saying it is impossible for them to be married according to the sacrament. Now, according to Catholic Church teaching, just being same-sex attracted, having those feelings, is not a terrible sin. It is not a sin. I mean, people with, no matter what their attraction are all called to chastity, even in marriage, and living in a way that is according to our own natural makeup. And God created men and women to join together and produce offspring. And that is the basis for sacramental marriage. It is impossible for two men or two women to create a child together without some sort of medical intervention. So the Catholic Church is against that. There are plenty of Catholics who are faithful to the Church and its teachings who happen to be attracted to the same gender. And the Church welcomes them and holds them to the same standard and to the same teachings as everybody else. Except they're just saying that it is theologically, sacramentally, and physically impossible for two men or two women to be married. And to legislate that is to perpetuate an impossibility. You know, it's a complicated issue. It really is. And, you know, it's something that requires a level of sensitivity when you can get past the shrieking of the gay activists who are, you know, you can't reason with some people, but there are plenty of people out there, faithful Catholics, who struggle with same-sex attraction, and they are not turned down by the Church. But the Church cannot embrace an active homosexual lifestyle just as much as it doesn't embrace anyone else having relations outside of the sacrament of marriage. So anyways, that's a little more clarification on the Church's teaching about homosexuality. And no, the Church does not hate gays. Anyway, moving on in Catholic news, if you have a child going to, university is it? It's Shippenberg State's University in Pennsylvania. If you have a kid going there, you don't need to worry. No sweat. They're taking care of your daughter because now the FDA has okayed for Plan B to be sold in vending machines at the school. That's right. You don't need to worry about it. You know, if your kid's going to school and going to Shippensburg State, and, you know, they go out, party, and stuff happens. Now you can get your Plan B straight out of a vending machine for $25. What do you think of that, folks? 718-305-7176. It's crazy. Crazy. Because that's not going to get abused. The Hill reports federal regulators will let a Pennsylvania university continue to disperse Plan B, also known as the morning after pill, through a vending machine. The Food and Drug Administration decided not to intervene following a, quote, politically motivated uproar over the vending machine Shippensburg University installed in its nurse's office. FDA looked at publicly available information about Shippensburg State's vending program and spoke with university and campus health officials and decided not to take any regulatory actions, the FDA said. Students at the university can obtain Plan B without waiting for an appointment by depositing $25 in the machine. I know you're relieved. I mean, these college kids, you know, why bother to raise them to any standards? They're just going to go out and get drunk, party, and maybe get pregnant. So now at least we have a way for, you know, those girls to go in and just get their Plan B out of a machine without, it's in the nurse's office, great. But how are they going to be monitored to make sure that they're taking this stuff properly, for one thing? And two, it's just perpetuating this college culture we have now of, you know, it's just party time. I mean, yeah, you go to college, it's the first time away from mom and dad. You're going to explore, you want to have fun. But now we've taken to this point where, I mean, outside of getting your communist indoctrination, now all it is a party zone. And now they have the means of helping your daughters to avoid getting pregnant and with their mistake. All they need is a Planned Parenthood right next to the nurse's office. Right now. So here you go. Maybe you can have an abortion through a vending machine too. I'm just getting a little sarcastic here. Maybe you can, if your Plan B fails, you can, for $25 that you put in the machine, now, you know, why not go to the Planned Parenthood vending machine that's right outside the nurse's office door so you can just, you can take that and have your own abortion. That way, I mean, It's just quick and easy. No one's got to know about it. You just do your thing and you find yourself pregnant, no problem. We got this vending machine here. We will take care of your problem. Seriously, folks, this is nuts. This is absolutely crazy. College students can't be held up to a higher standard. We're just going to toss birth control at them. How does that ever solve anything? Your plan B, we're still having all kinds of crazy mutations of STDs coming out, but we're going to throw a vending machine with plan B at a college. I mean, I won't hold my breath until it's all over the country, but I'm sure that'll be next. I mean, what's going on? What's going on, folks? The last story I want to get to before the bottom of the hour break. This is from CatholicVote.org, and it's talking about Governor Cuomo's anti-Catholic agenda. Ah, yes, Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York, our favorite guy. He's all about the gun control, these common sense solutions that everyone should just be able to agree with. Again, you know, this Governor Cuomo, he is part of the, you know, most liberal progressive state. He likes to tout that too. We're the most progressive state in the union. I mean, maybe California might want to fight them over that, but we'll just let them take each other out. That'll be fine. 718-305-716 is the number. So Governor Cuomo has decided that, his favorability ratings are at record highs, which means he's a very successful liberal. He's led some of the most productive legislative sessions in New York State history, and he can deliver an impressive speech. Wow, he can talk. I mean, it wasn't so much long ago that we were all marveling over this guy from this Illinois, you know, senator that could give a good speech too, and now he's the president. So, I mean, let's be a little wary of that. So, anyways, we got he signed the same-sex marriage bill into law. Now he's throwing his support behind legislation that would not only expand abortion access, but could put Catholic hospitals and state-funded ministries out of business. According to Kathleen Gallagher, the director of pro-life activities for the New York Catholic Conference, Governor Cuomo's proposed legislation will do away with parental notification laws, informed consent laws, restrictions on taxpayer funding of abortion, and abortion bans of any kind. Restrictions of any kind? That means we're going to be having third trimester abortions in New York City, folks. Why is it so bad to have a parental notification? I'm a little bit unsure of why that's a bad thing. I mean, well, just one more way for those pro-lifers to, come in and wear down abortion rights. Well, I mean, don't you think a parent would want to know at least if their 14-year-old daughter was going in to get an abortion? Don't you think they'd want to have something to know about that? So, anyways, that's one of those things that, you know, anytime we try to do anything, they're so dedicated to abortion that anything, now that's a common sense thing. If you're going to, abortion's legal, fine. But don't you think that those parents are going to want to know when their daughter is going to be getting this abortion? Don't you think? That only makes sense to me, folks. So, we're coming up on a break here. But when we come back, I do want to talk about Catholic institutions that aren't really that Catholic, that maybe are they call themselves Catholic and they really aren't that faithful to the teachings, and yet they still use that name. So that it really bugs me when that happens. So when we come back, we will discuss that. Don't go away. So let's assume that if you're listening Conservative Radio Nation, conservativenationradio.org, you're a conservative. You love America and our Constitution just like we do. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers and patriotic t-shirts to flags. And your pipeline to that good stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
Sure, humans can be a little weird at times, but take it from me, I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit the shelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
And we're back. It is now the bottom of the hour, and you are listening to the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. And I am Chris Ricketts, your host. And if you are interested in being a part of the program, you've got some comments, you've got an opinion you want to voice, I don't care if you agree with me, you disagree with me, whatever it is, give a call in at 718-305-7176. And we mix, on this show, we mix the church and state, despite what the liberals have to say. I don't really care. And we go back and forth. I'm a Catholic conservative, so I'm very interested in how the church is in America today and in the world and the teachings. I'm also, you know, dedicated to our nation. I spent 8 years in the Marine Corps. So, you know, I'm very much against the Democrat Party and Obama, its head, and everything that they're doing right now. So I want to talk about now how there are some, well, maybe a lot, or depending, there are institutions and people out there that call themselves Catholic. But in one way or another, and I'm talking, I mean, we're all sinners, so we're all going to fall short of, you know, truly following Christ. But there are organizations out there that openly flout Catholic Church teaching on serious issues, such as abortion or contraception, or depending on, you know, their views. They've been infiltrated by liberalism is pretty much what it boils down to. And when you have an institution that calls itself Catholic and yet behaves in a way that it is in defiance of church teaching, knowing defiance, then the question I have for you is, are they really Catholic? You know, if you're going to call yourself, if you want to be a part of a club or an organization, and maybe it meets regularly, usually this organization has some standards and some things you do. Maybe you'll just pay a monthly due. Maybe you have to show up for a meeting. Maybe you have to adopt a certain ethos and a way of thinking, maybe. You know, take the military, for example. I was in the Marine Corps. Very strict. You give up some of your rights as a civilian when you join the military, and then you are subject to not only regular civilian laws, but also the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which is much stricter than regular civilian law. And you can be held, and you can be held accountable according to the UCMJ. So you're part of an organization, and you have to follow its rules in order to call yourself a member of that organization, and especially if you want to be an active participant in it. And, you know, and a lot of, you know, clubs, groups, churches, whatever it may be, there's always a set of beliefs and a set of a way of conducting yourself that identifies you with that group. Now, if I said that I was a member of the tennis club, and I was a tennis player, but I never... So we have this tennis club, and you show up, and regular members, active members, show up at least once a month, are supposed to do that, and they're supposed to dress a certain way. They're supposed to wear a certain workout outfit and wear the club t-shirt when they show up to practice and play, and they have tournaments and whatnot. But if I said I was a tennis player and a part of this club, and I never went to practice, and I really wasn't even that good at it. And when I did go, I complained about the rules of the game. Would you call me a tennis player? 718-305-7176. So when an institution calls itself Catholic and it doesn't conform to the teachings of the church, is it really Catholic? There's two stories I want to bring to your attention regarding this issue. This is from the AP. Colorado's Catholic bishops will review a church hospital's legal argument that it should not be liable for the death of unborn twins because a fetus is not a person under state law. The arguments were made in papers Inglewood-based Catholic Health Initiatives filed in 2010 to persuade a judge to dismiss a wrongful death lawsuit against St. Thomas More Hospital in Cannon City. They appeared to contradict the church's centuries-old stance that life begins at conception. Folks, respect for life is one of the basic principles of Catholic teaching. They have been against abortion, contraception, all that stuff from the get-go. And now we have a so-called Catholic hospital trying to excuse itself so it can slither away from a wrongful death lawsuit by hiding behind state law, which declares a fetus not a person. They could have taken a noble route and stood up for life and said, yes, this unborn child is indeed a person. It is indeed a young life worthy of protection. But no, the bottom line wins again, and they want to slither away from it. And so now they're hiding behind state law that says the fetus is not a person. In a statement Thursday evening, the bishop said they would review the litigation to ensure it complied with church doctrine. Well, that's a laugh, because it already doesn't. The Catholic hospital already said that they're using this law that a fetus is not a person to dismiss the wrongful death lawsuit against the hospital. So with that in mind, it's kind of funny that the bishops will come out, well, we have to make sure this is within church doctrine, okay? Church doctrine, we'll make sure. No. It already isn't, bishops. It already isn't. Because the hospital was cowardly when it said this. The hospital chickened out instead of standing up for Catholic beliefs and, you know, standing up for its own Catholic identity. They decided not to do that. They decided to take the easy way out and hide behind state law that says that a fetus is not a person. Well, there are many states now that have laws that say if a woman is murdered and she is pregnant at the time and she loses the baby as well, then that person gets charged with a double homicide. I guarantee you abortion rights activists hated that one. Please feel free to call in 718-305-7176. Catholic institutions that don't follow church teaching and don't live up to their Catholic identity, are they really Catholic? I say ultimately no. You're either going to stand your ground and fight, or you can give in and you can go, you know, go to the liberal hangout and you can play kumbaya and you can pat yourself on the back for how open-minded you are. I say no. If you're going to call yourself something, then you got to live up to, if you want to be a member of an organization, you got to live up to the standards and the practices of that organization as best you can. Every single person is a sinner. Nobody here is perfect. Not even the Pope. The Pope has to go to confession too. But when somebody, that doesn't mean that we're not trying every day. constantly renewing ourselves, constantly falling, constantly getting up. It is a battle. But I'm going to call myself a Catholic. I'll call myself, you know, a struggling Catholic, someone who's, if I can get to into heaven, it'll be by the skin of my teeth. You know, personally, if I can't get to confession at least once a month, you know, I feel like my nose is starting to go under the water. But that's just me, and I know nobody's perfect. But I'm going to call myself a Catholic because I uphold those teachings, and I know a lot of the fellow Catholics who do the same. But a group like Catholics for Choice, on the other hand, who promote abortion and contraception and same-sex relationships and all this stuff, they call themselves Catholic. I mean, even the bishops have banned them and said that they're not. But they still love to go around and use the term Catholic anyway, which is not good because for those who don't know a lot about the church, for those who might only, this might be their only impression, they don't get the full sense of who the church really is and its teachings. All they get are these rogue groups that disagree. So the leftist media would like conservatives like us to think we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness. But don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls, even by liberals. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TradAm, as we call our home. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That's www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. I hope to see you there. Oh, and by the way, TradAm is a liberal-free website, so feel free to be yourself. That's what we'd like. Anyways, you're listening to Conservative Nation Radio, the Warrior Catholic Show, and I am Chris Ricketts, your host. If you want to be a part of the program, please call in at 718-305-7176. I know a little later on, before the show is over, we will be hearing from Carl Higbee to tell us about his show tomorrow, The Sound of Freedom with Hagen Resch. So look forward to that. Right now we're talking about Catholic institutions that call themselves Catholic, that use the Catholic name, but they really don't have anything to do with Catholic teaching. They like to make up their own. I mean, if you're that desperate to disagree with church teaching, you know, it already happened a long time ago. It started with Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation. They already disagreed and went away and started their own church. Go for it. I'm not going to hold you back. Because basically what these institutions are doing is sullying the Catholic name. They're misrepresenting the teachings of the church. And they're misrepresenting even what they disagree with because they don't understand the full teaching. So with that in mind, I'd say please do us all a favor and, you know, stop using the name Catholic and use whatever else you want. I mean, go make up your own thing. Everyone else did. That's what happened with the Protestant Reformation. People disagree with the church. They couldn't handle certain teachings, so they dropped them and just conveniently formed their own church without it. So go for it. Do it. But anyways, this is, I think it's a hot topic here. We have there's one more organization I want to tell you about. We're coming up on a break here, but when we come back, we will definitely be talking about the National Catholic Reporter and what's been going on with that lately. So please don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Pretty obvious.
Yeah,
so obvious. Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that. I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. I am Chris Ricketts, your host. And if you want to be a part of the program, give a call in at 718-305-7176. We're talking about Catholic institutions that aren't quite Catholic. And they use the name Catholic anyway because they, for some reason, feel that they need to get in the way and use the church teaching in a way that is, you know, according to their own beliefs. So, anyways, we're talking about these institutions and how they definitely sully the Catholic name. And I am finding my last article here. Okay, now, this is from CatholicCulture.org, and it says, Bishop confirms National Catholic Reporter is not a, quote, Catholic publication. Bishop Robert Finn of Kansas City, Missouri, has confirmed that the National Catholic Reporter should not advertise itself as a Catholic publication. In a column appearing in his diocesan newspaper, Bishop Finn notes that he, as the bishop of the diocese in which the reporter is located, has the duty to call the media to fidelity. Good luck with that, Bishop. He cites the Code of Canon Law, which in number 1369 calls for a, quote, just penalty for anyone who excites hatred of or contempt for religion or the church. The National Catholic Reporter, Bishop Finn remarks, has taken an editorial stance that puts the publication at odds with the church by officially condemning church teaching on the ordination of women, insistent undermining of church teaching on artificial contraception and sexual morality in general, lionizing dissident theologies while rejecting established magisterial teaching, and a litany of other issues. He reveals that he has received numerous complaints about the reporter's editorial policies. So they're basically a magazine that calls itself Catholic, that has nothing to do with Catholic teaching. That doesn't make sense. It's like using my tennis analogy earlier. If I'm a member of that tennis club, and you know I'm looking to, you know, I call myself a tennis player, but you know I'm not actually doing any of the things that would lead to, you know, lead to me being a part of that club, I wouldn't call myself a tennis player. You know, there are lots of folks that like to think that the Catholic Church is like a democracy. Like if we protest enough, if we make up our own things, if we bring liberalism in, if we misconstrue church teaching into some, you know, government-funded, big government handout, that all of a sudden, you know, that's okay. You know, that's not what the church teaches. The church teaches what it does for very specific reasons, and there, most of the time, the people that disagree with those reasons don't truly understand them in the first place. So these institutions that call them, you know, they call themselves Catholic, that say, oh, I'm a Catholic, but I just disagree with everything the church teaches, I don't think they're really Catholic. I don't see how you can use the name Catholic in your description. So, you know, I am going to give a call into Carl Higbee and, you know, see how we're calling. And he's going to talk to us about his show. Hey, Carl, this is Chris Ricketts on the Warrior Catholic Show. How you doing?
Hey, Chris, thanks for having me on, brother.
So tell us about tomorrow's show. What you got lined up for us?
Oh, man, tomorrow we're going to smash it. We're knocking this one out of the park. I've been pimping it on Facebook all day. We're going to talk about a little bit of what freedom is and what it truly means and what's going to happen if it's taken away. Our tax system, because it's totally screwed up, so we're going to break it down. And as always, me and Resh have plenty of plans. Probably nobody will listen to us, but we're going to talk about the immigration debate that's going on now, the healthcare system. We're going to breeze over that, but last we're going to bring in a Connecticut public high school teacher, and he's going to tell us what things are, how things are going in Connecticut just outside of Sandy Hook, what he thinks should happen, why our school system is failing our youth, and he's going to tell us about whether or not teachers should be able to carry firearms.
Oh, wow. That sounds like an action-packed show tomorrow.
So, yeah, we got plenty of callers, too. We have a former Marine, Gary Stein. He was canned by the Obama administration for a Facebook post. He was founder of the Armed Forces Tea Party.
Good for him. That seems to be going
around. So.
The Obama administration is it's like they're vetting out the military that's going to disagree with them or something like that.
Yeah, well, that's happening, and they're trying to thin out the upper echelon as well.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of...
You only push so hard before guys with guns turn around and say stop pushing.
I'm hoping that happens sooner than later, Carl.
Well, we definitely going to need to open our eyes pretty soon.
Yeah, very good. All right, Carl. Well, we'll be looking forward to, Sound of Freedom tomorrow with you and Guy. And folks, tune in tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. Thanks a lot, Carl.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chris. You have a good one.
Thanks. You too. Wow, folks, that sounds like a great show. I'm definitely gonna be tuning in myself to hear what Guy and Resch have to say. So everything we've been talking about is it's been a cool show tonight. I'm sorry about the technical difficulties we had earlier. You know, I tried to have everything set up, but my internet connection dropped, but we bounced back and we keep going. You know, that I think that's a great thing for us conservatives, you know, in whatever opposition we faced, we overcome. You know, and that's the American spirit. That's the true American spirit. And that's what is at the heart of our country, our conservative values. We don't turn to the government. We don't turn to a politician to solve our problems. We don't turn to anybody else, but we band together and we solve them ourselves. That's what started our nation in the first place. It was a group of people saying, enough is enough. We're going to start our own country. I mean, for such a long time, the colonists considered themselves loyal British subjects. Then things got rough, and so then they decided to become Americans instead. And that's what we are in the conservative movement. We're a group of people who are saying, you know what, I want my country back. I'm tired of, you know, we see now, it's like the Obama administration is like the epitome of all they've been looking for now. They're sprinting forward, folks. And you know, I'm definitely going to be encouraging people to pray a lot more, you know, wear out those rosary beads, you know, pray to God and ask for the guidance to be able to keep going with this, because it is going, I truly believe over the next 4 years, it is going to get pretty ugly around here. I mean, we were talking about earlier with how the Department of Homeland Security, it looks like it's preparing for war with the American people. You know, we just heard from Carl, and we'll hear more tomorrow, that, you know, they're thinning out the upper echelons in the military. Obama's setting the stage. He's setting the stage for something that's looking pretty nasty. So with all that we have, our faith is in God, and our faith is in his wisdom to guide us in whatever we have to do to take our country back. And you know, it was sad to see Obama reelected, and it's sad to see so many people that are completely, you know, panhandled and brainwashed by the indoctrination, but not us fellow conservatives. No, we're not going to listen to the liberal media. We're not going to listen to this spew that is shoved down our throats from the likes of MSNBC, CBS, CNN, and all those types. I mean, you know, it's funny how much liberals demonize Fox News only because they actually broadcast something that, you know, the liberals might not like. So, you know, they need to be demonized. They need to be shoved into the margins, even though they get the most ratings out of any of them. So all these things, folks, we have a serious you know, issue rising in our country. And, you know, we have four more years of this guy, and it's going to be, I seriously think it's going to get ugly. So with that in mind, stay prepared, folks. You know, we can't see what's ahead of us, but we can know that God's grace and his guidance will be there for us if we're open to it. So this is the Warrior Catholic Show, and please, there is a Facebook page on the Warrior Catholic Show on Facebook. Just go to the Warrior Catholic Show and click the like button. I will post articles and comments and anything else. Also, the Warrior Catholic Show has its page on conservativenationradio.org. Proud member of this group. They're, you know, awesome, wonderful people. I've had the pleasure of getting to know them since I've joined up, you know, the Warrior Catholic Show joined up with Conservative Nation Radio. And, you know, they're wonderful people, dedicated patriots, dedicated to bringing you the conservative message and organizing us so we can rise up to, you know, stay ready, folks. And, you know, we will be prepared only if through God's grace. And with that in mind, you know, tune in next week. We're going to have a great show. I've got an awesome guest lined up. If you want a little preview, she was involved in the adult entertainment industry for a long time. Right out of, you know, when she turned 18, she was, her name is Shelley Lubbin. She was picked up by a pimp and forced into prostitution. Then she went from there to being a stripper and then into the porn industry. And she worked many years, you know, for a few, couple of years in pornography. And now she found Christ and pulled herself out of that. And now has started the Pink Cross Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization that goes out there into the adult conventions, bringing Bibles and bringing a positive message to those people that are trapped in that industry, helping them leave and find wholesome lives. So this is going to be a great show next week. So please tune in. And there will be more on that. You can see about that on the at the Conservative Nation website and also on Facebook. So with that in mind, I've enjoyed chatting with you this evening, as I always do. And I thank you for listening so much. And until next time, I wish you a great weekend with your families. And I will talk to you soon. Have a good night and God bless.